speaking about Srila Prabhupada's books and their distribution is a very personal subject matter. And you all should see it in that way. Your reaction to Srila Prabhupada's books and your absorption in his books, I hope there's absorption, it's a very personal thing. From the language or grammatical point of view, Srila Prabhupada's books aren't very complex. The English language that he wrote is actually quite simple. He used a limited set of words. That's why so many of our leaders from non-English speaking countries learned how to speak English just by reading Prabhupada's books, because Prabhupada just uses a limited set of words. So they're not sophisticated books in terms of literary polish, but they are unlimitedly sophisticated in terms of the spiritual experience that they convey. So you have an opportunity to swim in that spiritual experience that Srila Prabhupada conveys through his books. And upon your tasting that experience yourself, immediately you have the best reason to distribute that taste to others. Sometimes there's lamentation that, oh, if we could only have been around during the ISKCON years when Srila Prabhupada was physically present. What must that have been like? Because now we hear Srila Prabhupada always being praised, and our spiritual master maybe can be his disciple, Srila Prabhupada's disciple, even his grand disciple. But still we hear about Srila Prabhupada and we're wondering how to taste, how to savor that direct spiritual experience that was prevalent in the world when Srila Prabhupada was physically present. The answer to your longing, to your heart's desire, is you can do that through Srila Prabhupada's books. Because even during Srila Prabhupada's manifest physical presence, so many devotees didn't get physical association. Some devotees never even saw him physically in South America, places like that. So how is it then that experience can be had? I'm sure you've heard it before, but it's always good to remember that Srila Prabhupada said, if you want to know him, read his books, and his books are better than him. What does that mean? His books are better than him. It means his books convey his personal presence better than being physically around him. That's quite an astonishing statement, don't you think? You would say, well, a book is a book, and the person is the person. But Srila Prabhupada didn't see it in that way. He said his books are better than him. In terms of, they're giving you access to his personal presence. The more we take those books as the cornerstone of our life, it's like now they're laying some groundbreaking ceremony, they're putting some things in the ground for the future manifestation of the Temple of Vedic Planetarium. So what are we laying in the ground for the future development of our spiritual life? We have the holy name. We have Srila Prabhupada's books as our foundation. Through the holy name and Srila Prabhupada's books, we can savor association of devotees, and we can know what is what. It's very important that we first get a solid foundation in reading, rereading, and rereading Srila Prabhupada's books, so that we can then have a structure by which we can, with which we can assimilate other writings. But without a solid structure erected, a solid structure of Srila Prabhupada's books, we don't know what the boundaries are, what the whole system is. So therefore, we should always keep in mind that we can read and reread Srila Prabhupada's books. And here's a hint I'd like to give you about that before we move on to discussing distribution. There may come a time in your life after you've read all Prabhupada's books two or three times. Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita, Nectar of Devotion, Bhagavad Gita, of course. And you've read them all two or three times. You should definitely read them all three times before you take this feeling I'm going to describe seriously. So you, after reading them three times, you may feel that, okay, I've got it all down. There's nothing new. There's no exciting, new esoteric information. Nothing new to tilliate my mind. The purports, I've assimilated them all. You know, the body, Krishna's supreme personality, God is. So on and so forth. Now I need something more. I'm ready to move on. More. I need time for more esoteric texts. Time for hidden knowledge. Now often we see that even before devotees have read Prabhupada's books three times, they get this feeling. And we should recognize it's a material feeling. So when this feeling comes, whether before reading sufficiently or after, it's a great occasion for rebelling. When you feel that come up and, okay, I've got it down. I've read these purports. I've got a feel for the books. Now, I need something else. I need some new source of stimulation. Not that I see anything wrong, not that I see anything lacking in Prabhupada's books, but I'm just assimilated, you know, and I'm ready to, you know, move on to things that are new and fresh. My advice to you is when you get that feeling, you rebel. And you tell yourself, this is my imperfect sense perception. At that point, after reading Srila Prabhupada's books so many times, and that feeling comes, it's a great chance to make even more spiritual advancement. You can tell yourself that this is a ceiling, a false ceiling that I've imagined over my head, and I'm going to crash through it. And in that way, I'll enter a new phase of my spiritual life. Translator understand? Ceiling? Ceiling is this here, this floor and ceiling. So I've imagined a false ceiling, a false roof over my head due to my imperfect senses. So the way to break through that false ceiling is to rebel against my imperfect sense perception. You tell yourself, it may seem like I know it all, and I'm familiar with the books, and I need something new. But I'm going to prove to myself this is wrong. I'm going to revolt against my imperfect senses. I'm going to get into those books again. It's at this moment that you can make a lot of spiritual advancement and be able to give that spiritual advancement to others. You're basically telling your mind that it doesn't know what it's talking about. That's always a glorious event. The same thing with chanting Hare Krishna. I've chanted rounds for years now. What's the big deal? You see, we're talking about relationships. Relationships with Prabhupada's books. Relationships with the holy name. Just like any personal relationship, there can be a sense of familiarity. Been there, done that. I've been with you for so long now. Nothing new. There's no new thrills. That can happen in any personal relationship. Not simply husband and wife, but even, you know, amongst brahmacharis or another kind of group of devotees. We've been around each other for a while now. Isn't it time to move on and get some new juice? So if you realize the role that familiarity plays, it's a mental creation. Been there, done that, same old, need some new juice. If you rebel against that feeling, then you can really be in store for a treat. You can really set yourself up to get a special treat. By not taking your mental perception of familiarity so seriously, you open the doors for further enlightenment. When I say rebel against that perception of familiarity, I mean, just, I don't care what you say, you tell yourself, I don't care what my mind is telling me. I'm going to get into Prabhupada's books even deeper than ever before. You tell your mind that. Just like you when you're chanting. Seems like I'm becoming very familiar with the holy name. All right, I'm going to go deeper than ever before. You rebel against your mental perceptions of familiarity. Because there's no doubt when you first come to Krishna consciousness, there's a kind of a buzz due to the novelty, the new experience. And after some time, that novelty, that newness, material sense of newness wears off. So we have to be prepared to go beyond our mental perception of familiarity, sameness. And this phenomenon of familiarity, this mental perception, happens with distributing Srila Prabhupada's books also. First it happens with reading, and it also happens with distributing. You can become quite deflated, or you can drain yourself. You understand? You can let your enthusiasm go away by this perception of sameness. That we're just distributing these books somehow or other, this way, that way, year after year, year after year. Isn't there going to be something new? In this way, we lose sight of the spiritual dynamic experience. An interesting experience a few days ago. It was after Mangal Arati, and there was kind of like a new bhakta sitting in front of me. You can tell when someone's a new bhakta. He was from the West. So he was sitting there in front of me while Hari Sarjan was making announcements. And so, when the announcement came about some event that was going to happen, this new devotee just, Jai! You're watching him. It's an ideal. You know, it's an event that's happening. He heard a cha. Immediately I prayed to Krishna, please let me have that attitude. Why do we have to become old devotees in terms of our mentality? Now, we may not express our joy in the same way as a new devotee. Every little event that happens. But still, that joy, that freshness can be expressed in a mature way too. So when we don't have that freshness, we should wonder what happened. And this is very important in reading Srila Prabhupada's books and distributing them. We don't want to lose sight of the unlimited freshness of the experience. So we have to be scientific. We need to look at ourselves. And just like we look at our chanting, let's look at our reading of Prabhupada's books, and let's look at our attempts to distribute them, no matter which way we distribute them. And see, have our mental perceptions clouded the possibilities of these devotional activities? It's like the clouds can appear and cover the sun. You know that feeling when it's a cloudy day, if you're from places in the world where it gets cloudy. Even in India, Delhi, there's fog at the airport, the planes can't take off. So clouds just, when clouds cover the sky, they are not as exciting. It's not as an exciting scene as when the sun comes out and just shines brightly. So we need to see if we are making cloudy days for ourselves by our mental perceptions. It can also happen in Mayapur Dham. When you remember the first day when you get here? And what happens as the days go by? Some familiarity can creep in. So if we want to break through that barrier of familiarity, it takes some effort. And that effort shows that you care. Just like in any relationship, if you make a special effort to revive and increase the freshness, the person knows, oh, you care. In any kind of relationship, if you have some quality time, it keeps the relationship fresh. In fact, the quality time allows you to see the freshness that's there. So similarly, in dealing with Srila Prabhupada's books, quality time is required, both for reading them and for distributing them. There's so many different ways we can tax our brains to come up with so many different ways to distribute Srila Prabhupada's books. And that's an expression of our relationship. I remember as a young Sankirtan devotee, that meant minimum 6 days a week going out on Sankirtan. And also at night, the weekends for concerts. This is the early days of Krishna consciousness. So I would do the book distribution according to the prescribed methods that were the way things were done at that time. Just the mantras, you know, the way to approach people. But then I decided on Sundays, instead of going out with a partner, I go out by myself, and I would do what I call freestyle. I would just, okay, I'm just going to drop all preconceived methods of approaching people and the things you say, and just going to be spontaneous. try this, try that. What happens, happens. I'm not going to worry about scores. I'm just going to get out there and just loosen up and just innovate, create, and let's see what happens. Maybe I'll get some new realization. Maybe Krishna will show me something that I've missed. So, don't get me wrong, the 6 days of the week, yes, I was doing things in the prescribed way known at that time. But just to keep myself fresh in the relationship, and to make sure I continue to see the freshness in the relationship, on Sundays, the seventh day, I said, I'll just go out and just not worry about any patterns, any kind of set approach or words to say. And I'll just see what happens. And who knows? I could stumble upon some new way that could increase the service. So that's how you do in any kind of relationship. This is my point, that you have a relationship with Prabhupada's books. Just like if you have a relationship with a person. You say, let's go this place today. Yeah, let's do that. Everyone wants pastimes. we want some leelas of our own. In which you just do things because, it shows your independence and your creativity. Mm-hmm. So my point is that in dealing with Srila Prabhupada's books, reading them and distributing them, there's no stereotyped or rigid method. You can be a person and be in relationship with the books, reading them and distributing them. Don't be impersonal. Okay. Now I must read Bhagavad Gita. Verse 21, verse 22. Okay, now I must go and distribute. Where do I go, Prabhu? Send me to my spot. Where is the congregational book distribution table? Where will it be today? After all, we must do this. It's true that duty is required in the beginning, but at the same time, let us not overlook the opportunity for personal expression as a humble servant. To be a humble servant doesn't mean that you're like a robot, you know? We need to discuss amongst ourselves how to expand the excitement and creativity of outreach work. Because I know a lot of devotees can have an artificial concept of distributing Srila Prabhupada's books. They make it something very rigid, stereotyped, and then other devotees become discouraged, or they become not very enthusiastic when they think that's what book distribution is. I'll give you an example from my own tiny efforts, my early days. I would always lament because I couldn't do very many books at all. Still, I would go out 6 days a week, sometimes up to 7 days a week. I would just never do very much. And I always lamented, just not one of the big guns. Even I got a chance to go out with the big names of the time. Still, they just couldn't get me going. They couldn't turn me into a big distributor. So I would lament in that way. Then, after the years went by, I looked back and I realized, you fool, I told myself. Krishna was using you fool. I was amazed to count the number of persons who became devotees that I had met on the street while lamenting that I couldn't do anything. Many of them became temple presidents. Some are still temple presidents now. So here I was as a neophyte devotee thinking, oh, Krishna, I can't do big. Book distribution means you have to do big. My scores are so small. What's the use of my going out? Still, I went out because I wanted to please Srila Prabhupada. So as I became an older devotee, I was able to understand that something was happening through my humble attempts.
So Vijay Prabhu was speaking very, how do we say it? He was exaggerating about whatever little service I'm doing at. In terms of trying that people in Western countries, that means basically the first world,
can approach Krishna consciousness and become activists and outreach persons in Krishna consciousness. Basically what I'm just experimenting, just like I used to do on Sundays. Let's just try this, let's try that. Let's see what happens, let's get some action going. As Prabhupada explains in Chaitanya Charitamrita, preaching is not stereotyped. Let's do this, let's do that, let's see what works. Let's make ourselves open to to fresh breezes blowing. And of course there has to be a bottom line. There has to be a basis. And let us judge by the results. But first, before there are results, we have to be open to perhaps doing things in different ways. To achieve the same goals, though. That's the point. The goals always have to be there. But sometimes the way to achieve the goals can change. It's all part of relationship. As Vijay Prabhu was pointing out, Srila Prabhupada told us to tax our brains, come up with this way, that way. It's like I remember. Srila Prabhupada would present that set distribution is very important. He wanted to see a set in everyone's home. So the devotees researched the possibilities for doing that. And they talked to encyclopedia salespersons, they talked to this, that. They investigated in the mundane world about the possibilities of set distribution. And then they came back to Prabhupada and gave the report that it's not really possible. For this reason, for that reason, or so on and so on and so on. The Prabhupada listened very carefully because it was like a professional presentation. Why set distribution couldn't be a viable or successful thing in his time. The Prabhupada listened, and he said, thank you for the investigative work you've done, the report you've made. And so the experts have said this. All right. But I still think it's possible. So in that way, we can always consider our work is never done until we take up that next phase at Srila Prabhupada. He told me he was always increasing the challenges. My point is that if we don't allow ourselves to become discouraged by familiarity, I've done this for so long, I've read these books for so long, I've distributed these books for so long, same old, same thing. This is impersonalism. You can say, you can like saying to your dearest friend or your longest associate, oh, we've been together a long time, haven't we? It's getting a bit boring. Try it, say that. Some of you who are married, or those of you who have, I hope those who are brahmacharis, you must have friends, otherwise you're not going to be a brahmachari for long. Try it, say that. Yeah, just your dear, you know, associates. Yeah, you know, we've been talking to each other for some years now. We know about each other. It's going to be the same thing, isn't it? You wouldn't say that to someone unless you really wanted to end the relationship. But generally, there's always a hope that things will become more lively. When we become impersonal with Srila Prabhupada's books, reading them and distributing them, we allow these mental concoctions to take over. Remember, Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita that when someone becomes free from all varieties of mental concoction, free from all varieties of sense gratification, which are born from mental concoction. So this sense gratificatory desire that I need some new books to read, or I'm tired of distributing, I'm tired of worrying about people reading Prabhupada's books. It's a mental concoction. And if we rebel against that concoction, we'll be entitled to higher levels of Krishna consciousness. In other words, don't take yourself so seriously, even if you're a so-called older devotee. Remember the new bhakta at the announcements? Cha! When's the last time you older devotees, that means you've been around more than 3 years, when's the last time you ever responded like that? Cha! Part of being an older devotee is that you don't respond that way, right? Maybe in kirtan you allow yourself to become a little ecstatic. But just over an ordinary, apparently routine event of the day, I think new devotees, many of you respond to that way, right? Forever? Okay, Prabhuji, let's go to prasad. Remember? It was so exciting, wasn't it? Let's go and hurry up. You ever see the old ISKCON documentaries, like what Yadavar Prabhu produced, Memory, what is it called? Those DVDs that Yadavar Prabhu?
Never.
Yes, and it has the devotees giving a soundtrack, they're reminiscing. They have those in Russia also, yes, in Ukraine. Yeah. So, remember I call it the Hare Krishna bliss dancing. Back in the 60s and early 70s, the early days of ISKCON. Remember the picture you can see in these documentaries, these DVDs, devotees, you know, that classic. Remember? Okay, it was a different time than countercultural days in the West, you know. But there was just that kind of excitement. Just now, we may not express it in the same way, but still, the excitement is actually coming from the spiritual world. And we shouldn't allow ourselves to be discouraged. We shouldn't cause ourselves to lose out on experiencing the freshness of the spiritual world, especially in terms of our relationship with Prabhupada's books and our relationship with distributing Prabhupada's books. We don't want to feel like, okay, I've been into Prabhupada's books for quite some time. Now I should move on. being an older devotee, being a more advanced devotee. That's a great mistake. We should always pray to Krishna to give us that attitude. Every time we open one of Prabhupada's books, of course, rack our brains, tax our brains to distribute them. I remember in one of the DVDs, The Memories of Srila Prabhupada, that Yadavar Prabhu produced, there was a chanting procession and devotees were carrying a murti of Lord Chaitanya, a big statue of Lord Chaitanya. It was on a palanquin carrying on their shoulders. And so they were marching in the street and they just came to a red light and they had to stop. And so they stopped with, you know, and they're, you know, the bearers of the palanquin of Lord Chaitanya. And so they just stopped and just like spontaneously, without further thought, without anyone saying anything, all the devotees who were carrying Lord Chaitanya, the palanquin on their shoulders, they stopped in the red light and just went. Then you might say, oh, well, no, that was the old days, or the hippie days. But there's a bit of that truth there, you know. But the main thing is the eternal freshness of the spiritual world, which is so powerful that so much so, you just stop at a red light and, you know, you're marching with devotees and you just, how great is this? A chanting party has stopped at a red light. So I pray to Lord Chaitanya that I'll always have these attitudes in terms of reading Prabhupada's books and distributing to others. And I pray that I won't become open to familiarity, the mental concoction of sameness, how many years I'm going to be doing this. One way that I keep in touch, now I'm much older, body does age, you know. I always make sure I read what I call nectar reports from those who are doing the front lines work of distributing Prabhupada's books this way or that way. And that way I feel in touch. It's so easy to become detached from that flow of nectar. So if you really want the relationship to be dynamic, you have to invest in the relationship. So I always make sure that I read reports. Prem Sankirtan here, he sends me from time to time reports. This happened on Sankirtan. That happened when I was trying to distribute books. So that way, I keep myself sensitive. I keep myself in tune. These are just personal methods for keeping the relationship fresh. And that's the point I wanted to stress today. Relationship and the freshness of the relationship and the mental concoction of sameness and familiarity. So I hope you all can understand. I hope something of what I said has some value for you.